The Florida community of mindfulness is happy to make these talks available to you. If you find this talk to be a benefit, please consider making a donation to support us. You'll find a donation button on the talks section of our website, floridamindfulness.org. Thank you, and may you be happy and free of suffering.
Everyone, and thank you for coming this morning. What I want to begin with this morning, it's sort of a continuation of what we've been looking at for many months now, are these four nutriments coming from an old sutra teaching of the Buddha on sort of, if you could imagine, it's sort of what we are, that if you could imagine sort of, but you're just a body and a mind, you realize the body and mind are always consuming. It's a different way of looking. And I think we understand, again, how the body consumes food, things, but also the mind is consuming. The mind is always consuming experiences. It consumes experiences through the senses, things we see and smell and taste, hear, feel in our bodies. We are always sensing things, pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. And we sort of, in the same way, we sort of go toward, let's say, foods. We sort of go through foods towards foods that are pleasurable, gobble, gobble, gobble. And we sort of avoid foods that we find unpleasurable, and then there are other kinds of foods we couldn't care less about. But in the same way, we are very driven by the things that appear to our senses, positive and negative, and we consume a lot through our sensory experience. And one of the things we, the last time I was here, spent some time talking about, which is sort of very kind of modern for our age, is just the whole use of electronics and media and just this capacity, as opposed to just a few, maybe a generation or two ago, where the consumption of sensory impression was primarily in the natural world, right? Now we have the capacity to be endlessly consuming through hearing and seeing and smelling and tasting endlessly through electronic devices. And so it is something very modern, but also something very significant that we need to take note of. And again, we've given talks on that, and we've given suggestions about people can get apps for their electronics that kind of help monitor their usage, because there's a lot of information out there that our usage is mirroring addiction. And there's a lot of denial around that. But I am not going to get into that today. But what I wanted to get into, and actually what I'm going to talk about later today, is the third impression, which is volition or intention or will, which is very important. But I wanted to talk just a little bit about, I think, something that's very much related to this overstimulated world that we live in now. And usually the teens in the teen program leave after walking, and then they do their own thing. But some of them have stayed today because I thought boredom was especially relevant to teenagers, but maybe not so anymore. As I say that, I realize I think that was very characteristic. I mean, I raised children, so I know very characteristically that that's often something we hear from teenagers. But perhaps in this world of overstimulation, that boredom is something that affects everyone, is much more pervasive. But I think it's significant. Because I think it becomes a motivator of our behavior, and I think it's also very relevant to those of us who undertake meditation. Because if there is anything that is boring, as some of you might have noticed initially, you know, is meditation. And actually, my six-year-old grandson, he agrees with that. He doesn't like to meditate because it's boring. he says. But again, I think that is really one of its wonderful qualities. And I think it's another reason, I think, why becoming acquainted with meditation is so kind of essential these days, because we don't know anymore how just to be. You know, something I think that was much more normal and natural just not too many generations ago, when there just wasn't a lot going on. You know, and so people just often just hung out, you know, in space and time without a lot going on. So this boredom, which I think is a fairly pervasive feeling in human beings these days, especially in our culture, but it may be something that we are not that aware of, because we have the capacity with all our electronic devices to immediately, when we feel a little bored, to what? To do something, to turn something on, right? And so it's almost like we don't have to face the boredom anymore, because we have immediate access to stimulation. But you know, there is something in the field of addictions where people start out, let's say, normal, and then they imbibe their substance of choice, and they get stimulated, right? Now, the problem with that stimulation is it doesn't last, so they come down. But when they come down back to what was normal, normal now feels very unstimulated, very uninteresting. So what happens over time is what even used to be normal is now much more abnormal and boring. Right? Boring really means what? When we're bored, we're sort of uninterested, we might say, in what's going on around us. And our capacity to be bored is not only sort of if we're in an environment where nothing's happening, we can be bored doing whatever we're doing. We can be doing. And we could say, this is boring, or right? Or we could be with people, and we might say, what? They're boring. These people are boring, you know what I mean? So it's not that nothing's going on, but it's a lack of interest, and which becomes kind of a flatness, right? A dullness in the mind, which we experience as what? Unpleasant. And if there's one thing people in our culture do not like to experience, is what? Unpleasant sensations. Is that true? We want things to be what? Pleasant, right? Right? We like things to be fun, right? If we're honest with ourselves, right? And so when things are not pleasant, when things are not fun, when things are not stimulating, interesting to us, we get flat. We get dull. We get bored. And again, we can get very much into that addictive spiral of creating, wanting, needing more and more stimulation, and not realize this addictive quality to it. Is that clear? And that we have lost kind of the essential quality, I think, of a ground of being a human being, which is this capacity to live with a sense of innate well-being. Let me say that again. Innate well-being. That there's a sense of well-being, there's a sense of ease, there's a sense of whatever within me, even if nothing's going on. Now, this is something that you kind of feel, and it may be something that many of us do not feel or haven't felt, but I would imagine, you know, you have felt it. Maybe on vacation, you know. Or just sometimes when you just feel, you know, everything's okay. You know, I don't have to do anything now. I'm just happy, happy being here, right? You know, it's kind of a feeling tone. But in a meditative sense, it's really this kind of innate well-being, this kind of ground, a sense of oneself, one's own mind, that everything's okay. And that I can be, that if boredom is a lack of interest in what's going on around me, I can learn to become interested, curious in what's going on around me, even if it's very ordinary. And I think that is a capacity that meditation gives us. Because again, I think the initial experience for many of us in meditation is it's boring because there's nothing going on, right? And we want something to go on. So many of us in our meditation, we create a little drama, right? About nothing's going on. I want something to go on. I better get more interested in it. You know what I mean? It's like we just can't relax and go, yeah, there's nothing going on. But that may not be boring, because we could even be curious or interested in what we're actually experiencing that we're calling boredom. See, boredom's a word. A word for what? For an experience. Experience is going on where? In my body, mind. Well, what is actually going on in my body, mind? Oh, maybe something is going on in my body, mind that I could become curious about, interested in finding out about. Oh, well, when I'm curious and interested, I'm no longer bored. Are you following me? I'm no longer bored. So that's why, and it sort of ties in where we're going to the third of aspiration, intention, volition, is, you know, why am I meditating? Right? What am I trying to learn here? What am I trying to develop here? And am I interested in that experience that I am having? Because we are always having experiences. It is untrue that nothing is going on. There's always something going on, right? I mean, one of the things we learn is we're always breathing. Oh, that's going on. Yeah, so for me to say, nothing going on, no, I'm breathing. And I have all kinds of sensations in my body. That's going on. Wow. And I got lots of thoughts, feelings, perceptions, memories, without me doing anything, that are arising in my mind. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, there's actually a lot going on. Now, what is my relationship to what's going on? If I'm not interested in what's going on, if I'm not curious about what's going on, if I don't want to learn about my capacity to be peaceful, to be at ease, if I don't want to learn about the nature of my mind, thoughts, feelings, perceptions, and try to understand this process, then there's no curiosity, there's no interest, and it's boring. So it's very important that, you know, again, whether we're in, again, I think this meditation is a laboratory because it's so obviously boring. You see? I mean, we sort of enforce it, you know what I mean? Like for the next 20 minutes or 30 minutes, I'm just going to sit here, right? And I'm not going to answer the phone, and I'm not going to turn on my computer, and I'm not going to text anybody, and I'm not, you know what I mean? It's like, so it's a great laboratory for learning how to be present to boredom and to learn how to be. But I think I would certainly encourage everyone in here to be attentive, you know, to watch the movement of your mind as it moves toward wanting to do something. Everybody know what I'm talking about? It wants to do something. It wants to look at something. It wants to be stimulated. And if we don't stop in that moment and be curious about what is actually going on within me right now, See, we turn it this way. We're curious about this, rather than kind of have a robotic, response to, the feeling of uncomfortableness, the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of emptiness, the feeling of boredom, the feeling of disinterest. And rather than kind of being with that suffering, I mean, not a great suffering, but it may be a pervasive kind of low-level suffering that is really conditioning so much of our responses to life. And often when we're coming from an inability to be with ourselves, to be with life as it is, right? Then we often act in ways that we grab after things that are perhaps not that healthy for us, not that good for us, not that nourishing for us, right? It's like being hungry and grabbing for junk food, right? It may fill us up, but there's no nutrition in it. Right? And so if I don't have any self-awareness of what's going on inside me, then I'm really a slave to these impulses that are fundamentally dysfunctional because I am unwilling to be present to myself and what's going on inside me right now and be willing and wanting to explore, be curious, be interested, so I can find, a way to be at peace with myself in all situations. And that I know that I have the capacity, if I'm with somebody and I'm going, when are they going to stop talking? I don't know if I can take any more. In that moment, what am I doing? I'm separating, I'm distancing, and I'm causing myself suffering. The antidote to that is what? Be curious about them. And if I'm not curious about the words that they're speaking, I'm certainly curious about why would somebody go on like this? I would try to understand them. You see what I mean? I mean, maybe they're covering up something. Maybe they're not comfortable. Maybe they're trying to impress. You see what I'm saying? I can be curious about sort of what's underneath all this. But as soon as I'm curious, I become interested. And as soon as I'm interested, I'm not bored. I mean, does that make sense? And all of a sudden, I'm out of that state. I'm relating this to a lot of our, discussions weeks ago about kind of the overuses and stimulation of electronic devices these days, is, I think, this boredom, which again just happens. It's not often, again, driven originally by boredom. It often develops because we know the sophistication of the people who are creating these media and the software and the programs of it. They know what they're doing, right? They are keeping us what? Stimulated, interested, right? And the way the mind works, when it loses that stimulation, that excitement, it has like a little withdrawal thing. It's like a little bit of withdrawal, and withdrawal is uncomfortable. That's the nature of withdrawal. It's uncomfortable. And if we're not willing to stop and examine that uncomfortableness, then we are, we're stuck. We're trapped in a cycle that doesn't end. You just keep. So again, I think mindfulness, meditation, all these things are very helpful ways that we can learn that in stillness, there is great happiness. in calmness, there is a wonderful sense of being, a sense of coming home to oneself, which is much deeper and more enriching than constant stimulation.